I'd like to call a meeting in order. All please rise. Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Okay, Councilperson Mutchler has requested an absence for tonight.
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Olson, seconded by Councilperson Ingram. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where the public can come talk to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So, any takers? One in the front row. Welcome, sir.
Nobody else?
Well, you know, you're so distinguished looking, I think they said, if that guy's going to go first, I'm going to just not go. I'm going to go with that story. Welcome, sir.
Well, here goes. My name is Fred Rudolph. Live at 6350 Portal Way, number 57. I've lived there for 9 years. And this is an old subject, which I talked to you all about 3 to 4 years ago. And every once in a while, I come in to remind you that Portal Way is part of the Ferndale City. It's in the city limits. And as of now, the only thing I have ever seen done to Portal Way is when we had the flood here earlier in the year, they came out and put the signs, water over the roadway. That's the only time I've ever seen anybody work on the road out there. Now, my subject is not the road, it's the kids. And I got a less expensive system to help the kids a little bit along the road. If you'll notice, if you go out on Enterprise Way, the county has 3 or 4 feet there for kids to walk or ride their bike. And in the city, we have nothing. And if there's anybody in the street department that could operate a tractor with a blade, they could blade a little bit of the along the road and fill it in with some gravel so that the kids don't have to walk through water. And I don't think that would bust the city budget to you. Is there any answers to that?
I don't know how much it would cost, so I don't know.
Just to put a little bit of gravel along the Portal Way so that the kids don't have to walk in the puddles and along the road.
Fred, I'm going to make sure our interim public works director researches that, and I think we have your number, so we're going to call you back. We're going to find the answer to that.
I sure would like to see something done. You know, I figured it out, and I gave the council a number of kids that live off of Portal Way, and that number is right around 400 kids. And you have a lot of houses there. You got that new development. There's over 60 houses in that, running between $300,000 and $400,000. And down the road, you got another development. They're building 2 or 3 houses all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a big help to do something. Forget about the road. You can take a can of tar and pour it in some of the holes there, and hopefully you won't have a bad winter to tear the road up completely. So is there any response to that at all?
We're going to have the Public Works Department look at the cost of that, and we will promise to call you back.
I sure would like to see something done for the kids.
No, thank you.
And I have one other subject. I had back surgery a couple of weeks ago, and I was laid up in bed for a couple of weeks. And when I'm in bed, I like to have a glass of water alongside of my bed to get a sip of water every now and then. Well, come later on in the morning, you can't drink the damn water, because it has a mineral taste to it, and it's objectionable. And I've talked to Greg about it, and he's fixed it up somewhat for 1 or 2 days. Now it's right back to where it is. I'd like to know what in the world we're putting in the water to make it so that you can't drink it the next day after it sits out overnight.
Do you have an answer?
Fred and I talked, and actually I then spoke with our water treatment operator, and I was assured there aren't any, you know, untoward chemicals being put in. But one thing that Mike did mention, and then I pass it on to Mr. Rudolph, was it might be temperature related. And actually, I tried this. If the water is cold, if it's out of the tap cold, it doesn't really have a taste at all. But if you let it warm up, it does. And so what I tried was I poured a glass, I left it out overnight, and then I stuck it back in the refrigerator. And once it chilled again, the taste wasn't bad at all. So for whatever reason, it seems to be temperature related.
And some kind of chemical that is dumped into it somehow has got with that taste to it.
Well, it's probably hardness.
It's a metal taste.
Yeah, I assume it's the hardness.
It's residual hardness.
Yeah.
But for some reason, chemicals.
The temperature of the water brings out, or should say the lack of coldness, if you will, brings out that hardness flavor.
I don't want to go to the environmental people to analyze that water.
Well, we actually have to test our water every day.
Well, it can be tested, sure, when it comes out of the faucet. You can drink it right now, but let it sit overnight and you can't.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to have them test if you guys can't do it. So that's all I have to say, and I wish to God that you people can do something for along the road on Portal Way. If we can do a lot of these other projects, sure, we can spare a few bucks. And my taxes aren't going down, they're going up. And like you say, I'd like to see something done with my tax money that affects the street that we live on.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else for the public comment period?
We were so close.
We almost missed you.
Yeah, so close.
Sam's fault.
Welcome, sir.
I'm John, and I live at Malloy House. And I have, at first I want to talk to you about, I'm not sure if I gave you one of these before or not, but before I go any farther, I want the audience to know the reason why I'm wearing stars is because I've gotten a promotion from my promotion. Mr. Olson, I gave him credit last year when I had one star from the promotion, but I want to give him perhaps credit. I don't know this time if it was you. But somebody, I think, had put me in for additional promotion, because so you all know, at one time I was just a major headache, and now I'm a general nuisance. But I have 3 stars to show for it. So I think that's a lieutenant general. I'm not sure. But whoever put me in for the promotion, thanks a lot. I wanted to make the chief envious because he only has 3 stars, too. So he'll probably want you to add a star or two to his uniform next time. But that's the first thing. The second thing is I want to give you some food for thought. And this is meant to be food for thought, amazingly enough. What we put into our minds fuels our emotions, which in turn determines our behavior, at least to a degree. That's true. I hope you think about that. And the second kind of food for thought is resentment, ill will, grudges, and the like are examples of self-made jail cells. And when we have a self-made jail cell, guess who gets stuck guarding the door? We do. And I don't know if I have time for my conundrum. This is I Papa John locally grown conundrum, in case so it's Ferndale grown. Is the 3 options in this conundrum: police, post office, and Forest Service. Okay, police, post office, Forest Service. Here's the issue: every time the wind blows hard, my trees move and they don't leave a forwarding address. So is that police for missing trees, post office for change of address, or Forest Service for trees on the loose? But I think I know what the real problem is. I think the real problem is the neighbors are concerned about their bark. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think he's a major general nuisance.
he's been promoted to major. Okay, anyone else for the public comment period? Oh, here we go. We're having a heck of a night.
Come on now.
Yes, but I missed out on most everyone. That's
cool. You have to tell Sudar before you start pontificating.
Okay, I'm up here now. I'm Pat Ellis, 4825 Alderson Road, Birch Bay.
you know, I did a little thing a little while ago of a little rock, and it said Bitch Bay on it. Well, it was a mistake, but people are saving them for collector items. But, you know, you can't help but compare the two communities. Birch Bay pays out more in property taxes than Ferndale. I stopped at your library the other day. It's a wonderful, wonderful library. And at Birch Bay, we're just hoping the county will, you know, we get this old building, we're hoping the county will move where they put their bookmobile and maybe giving us a Wi-Fi. These people are grumbling, but I'll tell you what, you listen effectively, and they're more apt to get service out of you because you're elected every 4 years, there's quite a few of you, and you're focused on Ferndale. The county doesn't work with a fine pen. It just goes with a broad cloth. And actually, really, why I came here tonight was to talk to you about my friend Ray Hong, who has property. I hope it gets developed soon so I don't have to listen to him complain about Ferndale allowing developers to build all the way around him and run water down on him. So if anybody can help me with this, that would be nice. Meanwhile, you guys do a good job. You're not perfect.
We love you too, Pat.
What? Okay, this is a heck of an evening. Anyone else? What the heck?
I hope somebody else speaks up.
The full dinner.
Right,
there was a full
moon
last night.
It looks like that's okay. Okay, because we do have a long agenda. We really do have some work to do tonight. Okay, moving on. I'd like to close the regular meeting at 6:11:46. 6:11:46. And open up the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting. Before you, Council, is some action. Councilperson Goodrich.
Motion to accept the TBD project consent.
Second.
Okay, so moved and then second. We'll just stay over there, ignore those people over there. Seconded by Councilperson Bursch. Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, so I'm going to close the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting at 6:12:23. Hard to see that clock. And reopen the regular council meeting at 6:12:28. Okay, and before you is the regular consent agenda.
Consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I think I have it moved by Councilperson Ingram and seconded by Councilperson Olson. Everyone's really eager tonight. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, rock and roll. Okay, so we have next up the proclamation on National Poetry Month.
So move.
Good for you.
Good try.
Mayor proclamation. Whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month of April as National Poetry Month in 1996, and whereas National Poetry Month seeks to illuminate the historical and contemporary legacy of American poets, to introduce Americans to the extraordinary pleasures of reading, writing, and reciting poetry, to bring poets and poetry to the public in immediate and innovative modalities, and to make poetry a valued and integral part of our children's education, and whereas poetry is recognized as an essential element of the arts and the humanities that affects the honors and the development of intellectual thought, cultural diversity, individual and community enrichment, dignity and pride, and whereas poetry has provided the inspiration for extraordinary American artistic interpretation through the visual and performing arts. Now, therefore, I, Gary Jensen, Mayor, City of Ferndale, do hereby proclaim April 1st to April 30th, 2015, Poetry Month in Ferndale, Washington, and I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, businessmen, and citizens of Ferndale to honor this month through participation in celebrative programs, events, and activities offered for such purpose with our community, and to acknowledge poetry as an artistic foundation to build upon in perpetuity, to sustain the greatness of our nation, signed the 6th day of April. And so, you guys don't get to hear me talk enough, so now I'm going to co-read a poem with the, we call it the President of our Arts Commission.
Her Royal Highness.
Her Royal Harness. Chairperson? Chairperson. Okay.
Hi. Marla Morrow, Ferndale Arts Commission, 5595 Elder Road. I'd like to prelude our reading by letting you know the title is Honeybees by Paul Fleischman, and it's truly an homage to all of you before us who work so hard as drones to make our hive, the city of Ferndale, a better place. Homage to Oates.
Okay, we practiced this and had like extensive dress rehearsals, but I forgot who do I start first?
We start together.
Oh, we start together. Okay, that's because
not
we practiced so
drone.
Much.
Not a very good drone, right?
Okay.
Being a bee is a joy.
Is a pain.
I'm a queen.
I'm a worker.
I'll gladly explain.
I'll gladly explain.
Upon rising, I'm fed by my royal attendants.
I'm up at dawn, guarding the hive's narrow entrance.
I'm bathed.
Then I take out the hive's morning trash.
Then I'm groomed.
Then I put an hour making wax without 2 minutes' time to sit still and relax.
The rest of my day is quite simply set forth.
I seem to be working the hardest here. Then I might collect nectar from the field 3 miles north.
I lay eggs.
Or perhaps I'm on larva detail.
By the hundred.
Feeding the grubs in their cells, wishing I were still, helpless and pale.
I'm loved and I'm lauded. I'm outranked by none.
Then I pack combs with pollen, not my idea of fun.
When I've done enough laying,
then weary I strive.
I retire.
To patch up any cracks in the hive.
For the rest of the day.
Then I build some new cells, slaving away, enlarging this hell, dreading the sight of another sunrise, wondering why we don't all unionize. Truly, a bee's in the worst of all lives.
Of all lives.
I know why she picked that poem. You know, it's kind of like the mayor. He does all the work. Somebody else gets the credit.
You need a mayor union.
There we go. Okay, so next up is public hearing on the Meadows Pump Station Late Station Agreement. Latecomers Agreement. Staff.
Now, good to start off here. This is a preliminary latecomers agreement. In fact, there's two latecomers agreement, and the city is the recipient of both. They're both related to the Meadows, which is a development off of Horton. One is for the pump station that, if you remember, the idea was that they were going to need to put in a pump station because they're at the bottom of the hill. Eventually, the properties around them will probably develop, and there'll be additional pump stations. The thought was to build one big one instead of two or three small ones. And so that was the genesis for the first of the latecomers for the pump station. The second one is there's a gravity line, a sewer line, actually out in the road on Thornton that, again, others will be able to benefit from. This is a preliminary only because the lift station has not been built. They've actually did it, and they're going to be starting soon. And the line out in the road has not been built yet. So this is based off of the engineer's estimates of cost, and as a result, the allocations to the affected property owners is also based on that preliminary allocated cost. Once the improvements are completed, then we'll have the actual cost, and we'll finalize the latecomers. The way it works, in the next 20 years, if someone in the service area goes to develop, they have a proportionate share. If someone owns property there and they either wait 20 years in one day or they decide not to develop, they will not owe anything. So it's just a question of if and when the affected property is developed, then the city would get reimbursed a proportionate share of the costs.
Technical questions of staff. This is a public hearing.
I'm just curious, so what we're going to do tonight, because it's preliminary, we're just agreeing to the percentages, basically?
Right, we're agreeing to in essence, accepting the preliminary cost allocation, which was done by our engineers. They're probably reasonable. And the other one is the cost allocation method. There's two methods. For the pump station, it's based on the entire service area, so there's a square footage. I think it's like 8 cents a square foot is the allocation. But the line in the street is based on front footage, because the ones that front on Thornton are the ones that would literally connect to it. So okay. There's two different allocation methods for two different benefiting areas.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilperson Watson. Any other questions of council for staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to the public hearing part. I'm going to read this speech, and we have three public hearings, so the speech To save time, I'll only read the speech once, and so you can just memorize it and use it for later. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at the public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once you've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So on this one, we have no one signed up, so we'll go to the audience. Would anyone like to come forward and speak on this subject? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? Exciting subject. Really good stuff. Okay. Too bad, Pat. You didn't go quick enough. Okay. So we're going to open and close the public hearing at 6:20, 6:21:02. Council, it is in your hands.
Do you need two separate motions?
It probably would be best.
Okay, I'll move the acceptance of the latecomers agreement for the pump station.
Second.
Okay, that's been moved and seconded. Everybody understand? You're just voting on that. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Second issue.
I'll move the that we accept the latecomers agreement for the sewer line in the gravity line in Thornton.
Thank you, Councilperson Hansen. Do we have a second?
Second.
A second by Councilperson Ingram. Any further discussion on this issue? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you. Okay, moving on to our Community Development Director, we're going to go to the public hearing on the General Business Zone text amendments.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. Yori Burnett, Community Development Director. We have before you tonight a public hearing on a city-initiated zoning text amendment that has two ordinances associated with it. The General Business Zone currently and for all time has required that food processing businesses go through a conditional use permit. What we're proposing to do is to define what food processing is, or maybe more accurately, is not, and then that would be a change to our chapter 18.44, and then change the general business zone itself where food processing would cease being a conditional use and would instead be a permitted use. The reason why we're proposing this is because food processing has become quite popular all around as you start looking at different niche diets or the advent of gluten-free foods and other things such as that. You have a lot of these food production businesses that are quite popular and that are looking at expanding into Ferndale, but the conditional use process gives them some pause where that's an uncertainty that sometimes they are not comfortable with committing to a piece of property until they've gone through the conditional use process. The Planning Commission felt that that might be an issue that those businesses need to deal with, that there is no certainty in development. But the Planning Commission certainly did appreciate the fact that our administrative processes really control odor, vibration, glare, nuisances, and that we can really administer these applications through our existing process, making the conditional use process really redundant and unnecessary, an extra step in the bureaucracy that we no longer need. So staff and the Planning Commission recommend approval of both of the ordinances. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Councilperson Olson is first.
Would this have any 502 implications?
No, sir, it would not. When I mentioned that the definition of food production clarifies what is not food production, we made clear that I-502, marijuana, is not considered food production, neither is our slaughterhouses or food rendering.
I understand that, and thank you for that, but where they put it into food, would that...
It would not, and I'll go right to the definition where, let me go to it so I can quote it specifically. Food processing means businesses...
Where are you?
I'm on page 94. Food processing means businesses which transform raw ingredients by physical or chemical means into food or beverages, including food supplements or vitamins, or the transformation of food into other forms, including freezing, drying, or cooking. A. Food processing does not include the slaughter of animals, but may include butcher shops in which the flesh of animals, fish, or poultry is dressed for market. B. Food processing does not include the sale, processing, or manufacture of marijuana or products which include marijuana as an ingredient. And then C, food processing does not include the raising of animal, fish, or poultry.
Thank you.
Well done. Councilor Sinverse.
Does this have any impact on current food processors in that area?
No. To the extent that it could, I should say Hempler's is a good example. It does not negatively impact any food processors right now. It may positively impact them, and so, again, Hempler's is an example. Hempler's has been quite successful in Ferndale, maybe more successful than when they first came out here, what they envisioned. Hempler's is looking at expanding in Ferndale over time. This gives them a straighter shot towards those approvals, whereas conceivably someone that doesn't like bacon could comment as a conditional use and say, I don't like bacon, do something about it. This makes it an administrative process where certainly if there are odors beyond the extent of their facility that are nuisance related, we could control that, but it would help those existing businesses.
Any other questions? I'm still wondering how someone would not like bacon. Councilperson Goodrich?
Bacon, just change the name to candy.
This deals with the issue that they had down in Southern California with that hot sauce manufacturer.
Sriracha?
That something like that came here that through the odor part of it or whatever.
Burned a town.
Yes, where we can already control that to the extent that we ever could control that. Something like the Sriracha business, the nuisances over time became nuisances, not because they necessarily did something different, but because they expanded their operations or their capacity, which is not necessarily something that we would administer through this. You know, Hempler's right now could, to use them as an example again, could expand their facilities, and we would not necessarily know that if not for the water and sewer impacts. But if there was a nuisance, we could still go after them, or for that matter, if McDonald's or another food production facility were to do something, it's the nuisances that we'd be able to go after them with, not necessarily the permitting. It's performance, really.
Councilperson Ingram?
Will this, my mind says that it will be a benefit, but will this be a benefit to Flax for Life when they get more serious about making their move into Ferndale, give them a more positive, you know, you can do this or you can't do this? Or
I believe that it would. Flax for Life, for those that are not familiar, is a business that is expanding tremendously fast and, in fact, have to expand in Bellingham once more before they come out to Ferndale. When they were looking at expanding, they were extremely concerned and, in fact, did not purchase the property until after they'd gone through the conditional use process. Turns out that they did ultimately purchase the property, but you can imagine the scenario where a business is looking at a couple of different locations, and if the conditional use process would cause them a delay that they could not sustain, they might look elsewhere, even though it would have ultimately been permitted. It's that uncertainty that did not help Ferndale in those competitive environments.
Any other questions of staff? Okay, we'll open up the public hearing. Obviously, you remember my wonderful speech from before, so I don't have to read it again. Would anyone like to come forward and speak on this issue? Would you like? You can come forward. Okay, so I'm going to open the public hearing at 6:29:19.
I don't know if this is directly into what the gentleman just had to say, but why in the world can't we attract a good restaurant in Ferndale? The closest one we got is at the reservation.
And that probably wouldn't be a question during this.
I don't know if this question fits into this or not, but I just always wondered why in the world, why doesn't Ferndale have a decent restaurant? We have to go
this,
on the belly.
This would help that decent restaurant find better products.
It sure would.
Okay, anyone else would like to speak on this subject? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing at 6:29:59. Work with me here.
And I would like to remind council that there are two ordinances in front of you, so I believe
they should just adopt the agenda bill.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, the clerk is giving you direction. Any movement from council? Councilperson Watson, you're mumbling. Would you like to take this
issue?
No,
I really wouldn't.
No, okay.
Because I want to do it differently.
We're moving to Councilperson Goodrich, who's awfully paying attention. Councilperson Goodrich.
I move the adoption of Agenda Bill 15-04-003.
Second.
And this side of the room is on top of it tonight. Councilman Birch has seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
That was a lot of work for food.
I thought this meeting was going to go longer. Okay, next one up. Public hearing. Yeah.
So the presentation would be longer.
Northeast Grandview Rezone.
The city has received an application from property owners, Excelsior Mortgage Equity Fund 2 LLC, represented by Bob Richardson, to rezone just shy of 10 acres at the northeast quadrant of Grandview Road and Interstate 5. Really, this is the most northeastern property within the existing city limits. The applicants wish to change the zoning, which would be, if approved, a change to the official zoning map, which is right over Council Member Mutchler's seat, to change the official zoning map to change it from regional retail to general business. The applicants own a piece of property, really the only piece of property in that quadrant that has already been developed. It was developed when it was in Whatcom County, and when it was annexed into the city with regional retail zoning, the uses, which are quasi-industrial, warehouse, old coffee store, which has been vacant for quite some time, those uses became non-conforming uses. Does not mean that they could not restart again since those buildings already exist, but it does again possibly give some pause to investment from other parties or funding from financial institutions. The city received that application from them, and we sent out a letter to all the property owners in that quadrant to ask whether or not they wanted to be involved or not. Generally speaking, we don't want to just rezone one piece of property, though we certainly can rezone one piece of property, if we were likely to see a domino effect where other pieces of property want to follow suit. We sent that letter out. We didn't get any responses to it whatsoever until just before the Planning Commission hearing, where we heard from the property. You can kind of see in the middle, it raises up to the north a little bit more than the rest of them. That is a trust property where family basically owns it, and there was one person speaking for them who said that they did not want to take part in the rezone, that they felt that the future of their property was likely going to be regional retail, and he wanted it to stay that way. Didn't receive any other responses. The Planning Commission recommended approval of only the applicant's property. They felt that it made sense to rezone it because that property does, we believe, have some additional capacity still in their existing septic. It's the only property out there that we know of that has septic available to them. Without septic, obviously, there's not going to be much development that happens because the city's water and sewer have not yet extended to the area. So because of that, the Planning Commission felt that of all the properties in that quadrant, this was the only one that could reasonably expect to have some additional development and has already been developed. And that made this property somewhat unique. So the Planning Commission recommended approval of the rezone. Staff echoes their recommendation. I know that the property owner or representatives of the property owner are here tonight, and I'll caution council, as I always do, remember that when there's a rezone request, quite often the applicant has something in mind as to what they'd like to develop. In 2010, we had all of the property owners come forward to you and tell you that the future was going to be regional retail. Many of those property owners are no longer property owners in that area. Unfortunately or fortunately, property owners come and go, but your zoning is intended to last for a longer period of time. We think it makes sense to rezone this to general business, and the property owner certainly might have some additional comments. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Technical questions of staff before we go to the public hearing? Any? Okay. Seeing none, Okay, at 6:34:57, I'll go to the request for anyone would like to come forward and speak on this issue. Anyone? Anyone would like to speak? Aha, we have a winner. Come forward. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm Bob Richardson. I represent Excelsior Equity Mortgage 2 out of LLC at 2010 Grandview. The whole reason for the change of the request is just basically bring the property into a conforming status, much like your previous discussions earlier this evening, where you have some hesitation with investment on moving forward with if it's a purchase or development, and this would kind of ease some hesitation or reluctance for that fact. So,
okay. Any questions of this guest? Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else on this public hearing? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing at 6:35:59. Before, you know, is this one?
It would just be one.
Okay. Like an easy one, just one. Councilperson Hansen was the first one I looked at.
I'd be outdone by the other side. I wish to move that the Northeast Grandview rezone be approved.
Second.
Okay. And it's been moved and seconded by a combination of Councilperson Olson and Ingram. I think actually the older Mr. Ingram was a slight second faster. On the second.
All right, y'all, game on.
Yeah, bring it.
We're running out of public.
Okay, getting to serious matters. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, there we go. We're just rolling here.
I know, because it's 4 to 2.
It's too much like a summer meeting.
Yeah, you guys are just having
the
way too much
shining.
Fun. Yeah, the sunshine. This is like, we need some controversy here.
The edible sun.
Okay, this is design contract on the main LeBounty roundabout, and our acting public works director will talk about this subject.
Right, I'll start, and I'll probably have our community development director follow on.
Save you.
If you remember, a few years ago, we actually embarked on a rather extensive multi-year process of planning for the future development of Ferndale, most notably because we are located along Interstate 5 and have a whole lot of undeveloped property, unlike probably any other city up and down the west coast of America. And as I think most of you have heard me say in the past, I heard years ago that development moves to the north, and we are the north of Bellingham, and pretty soon you run out of the USA once you get past us. So maybe we're the benefactors or the delayed benefactors of development working its way up the I-5 corridor. So we went through our master plan for the Main Street corridor. We actually put together a planned action environmental impact statement that would facilitate development in the area, realizing that there's, again, a lot of undeveloped land. It's going to be developed someday. It's just a question of when. And now we're actually thinking that that when is approaching. We're getting a lot of interest from retailers that are interested in coming to Ferndale. I would think that probably in the next 6 months, certainly within the next year, we're going to have multiple retailers perhaps coming or looking at our city. We seem to have planned well. They like that. We seem to have anticipated the need for the city to grow, and as a result, we would like to get out ahead and be a little more proactive in this regard in front of you. And again, our community development director will talk more about the specifics of it, but if you remember, we put together our Main Street master plan that had a series of roundabouts, and we modeled them. And right now we're proposing that we start the design process for the roundabout in front of Hagas, the one at Main on the Bounty. It's a little less than $300,000. The funds are in hand. It takes about, this is a 9-month design contract. It's going to take 9 months to a year, probably more closer to 9 months, for our contractor to fully design this roundabout. And again, we want to be ready for when development comes, because it's all of our modeling has shown that the existing configuration of traffic lights will not serve us well as into the future. I guess with that, I'll press it over to Community Development Director.
Well, and so moving on with what the city administrator said and what we've heard is what we're proposing is not what cities generally do. but I think it's what most cities want to do, and that is to come up with a plan and then actually follow what they came up with instead of coming up with something new and kind of deviating from the plan. You can see up and down the I-5 corridor where cities have had a vision and then they go away from it because there are political pressure, costs, and expenditures that are different. But we have the opportunity to follow through with that plan without really changing it. I heard that the council at council committee asked some actually really good questions.
It happens.
Not necessarily at planning and land use, but it does happen, apparently.
We're not on that committee.
No.
I am.
All right, let's get back to the subject at hand here.
And those questions were, are we building this roundabout in the right time frame, which I think the city administrator has talked about, but how does it relate to the other roundabouts and the other improvements? Or are we just kind of plopping this roundabout because it happens to be the one that we know and it's going to wreak havoc on the ramp terminals and at the Walgreens intersection? So it would be really easy for us to say, yes, of course it'll work, you know, trust us. But what we did is we talked to Transpo, who is the preeminent traffic analyzer in the state of Washington. And really, we've talked to a lot of retailers who say, we want to use Transpo because Transpo is the best. So we put a lot of stock in what Transpo says. But we
don't follow anything you tell us to do.
But we don't follow. And because of that, we also talked to Bob Herman, who, as you remember, did the modeling for the roundabout and has done the initial design. And we asked them exactly those questions. And we didn't lead in saying, here's what we want you to say. We asked them, if we put in Main and LeBounty, without putting the other roundabouts in place, will it have an adverse effect? And did you model Main and LeBounty on its own? The answer is from Bob and Transpo, and I'll explain why in just a second, was yes, you can definitely put in the Main and LeBounty roundabout first. You don't need to follow up immediately with another roundabout or anything like that at either the terminals or Walgreens. You can't forget about those improvements. They will be required at some point in the future. But that roundabout has been modeled with full build-out with Walgreens and the terminals staying as signals, and it still works. So that's basically, you know, the answer there. What they also said, a couple of things, was that, as we expected, when we did the level of service, it's east-west, where we say we want folks who don't choose to shop to be able to get to and from their homes quickly. Folks that do choose to shop and go down Walgreens or go down LeBounty, when they're coming back in, it will be a little bit more difficult for them to come onto Main Street. It's not going to be like they're sitting necessarily for even as long as they're sitting now, but because with roundabouts, when you have a dominant direction, the minor directions have a more difficult time entering into that traffic, but it will still function. The reason why it will function is because our traffic lights are not calibrated right now to one another, where traffic lights work when you can platoon traffic down a roadway. Ours are randomized.
I apologize. So you mean the lights on the bridge, too? The I-5 lights aren't
correct.
Synchronized
they
either?
They are not synchronized to Walgreens.
Okay.
For example, or Main and LeBounty. So as a result, we already have this randomization. And I know that some folks, the chief has commented periodically, where you might be stopped at Walgreens for longer than you were the other day. It is because of that randomization, which is similar to what you're going to get when there's a roundabout. That's what roundabouts do, is they randomize the traffic going out, where this one goes north, this one goes south. It doesn't platoon it. So what Transpo said is at build out or halfway to build out or three-quarters to build out, the impacts of Walgreens will be very similar to what the impacts of Walgreens are right now. Won't necessarily improve it, but won't necessarily make it worse. And that certainly on very busy days, or if there's an accident or a flood or something like that, then you might start to see some impacts on those rare occasions where there has been an emergency or really something that is unusual. But that's what we already see there. So the bottom line that we heard
from both, well, actually, Louise from Reichardt needed too. These folks independently, putting Maine and LeBounty in right now, it makes sense. Bob Herman says, I don't see a reason to hold up the Maine LeBounty roundabout construction until the other roundabouts are funded. We recommend moving forward with this, but don't forget about the other roundabouts.
Okay, I have lots of questions, so I'll start with Council. I'll go in this order, so I'll start with Councilperson Watson and go around the circle. And I'm shunning that side now.
He's just jealous. How did they model the signals? If the signals are truly random, how did you model those for flow? I mean, if you don't know when the signals are really coming on and off, how do you know how that's going to impact the flow?
Let's see if he has it in here. He, in his initial analysis, put in some estimates, and I'm going by memory here. I don't think that he included here. He put in some estimates of normal delay time is 30 seconds, so or 40 seconds, whatever it was. So I will hold that traffic at the lights for 30 seconds, and then I'll send it through. It was all at the PM peak hour, so the traffic volumes are known and fairly constant. So he has, you know, 100 trips coming from the west and 300 coming from the east per minute or per hour. And if you hold it for 30 seconds or for some amount of time, then you release it. He was able to model that and see that it does not back up into the other intersections.
I guess I'm still trying to understand how that would work. Because, I mean, if it's like a fluid flowing through, and if you put it through every 30 seconds versus every 32, or if someone gets stuck on the bridge and they can't go, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of volume. It's important to note that, you may have seen the picture I had on my wall or the video of the modeling of the roundabout, and that was in 2032, I think it was, with full buildup and with traffic lights, but only the roundabout at Walgreens. And the issue with traffic lights is you end up getting this. It's a red light, so you get a little bit of stacking, and then this group of cars moves through the traffic light. And that's what makes traffic lights different than roundabouts. With roundabouts, instead of getting these little, as Yuri mentioned, these little platoons or groupings of cars that tend to travel from one traffic light to the next traffic light, you end up having more of a flow, almost that water flow that you talked about, because you're not waiting for a light to turn green and then all you and your friends behind you take off at once. You come into the roundabout at different times. And so
it's not the roundabout flow. It's the flow into the roundabout.
Right.
Because depending on how you get stuck, you know, because if you're coming out and you're going east on the roundabout, you're coming out and you come up and you can't get across the bridge, which happens sometimes because you're stuck. And so it's that other one that's holding up.
We have our engineer in the audience. Would you like to hear from a different voice?
I'd love to hear from an engineer.
Okay.
I hear from one all the time.
Would you like to come forward, sir? I'm sure you were consulting yourself on getting information on this subject.
He was trying to figure out how to get out of here.
We spoke to Reichardt Navy Engineering. Bob Herman is our sub-consultant. He works on the traffic engineering. Obviously, you've talked to him, and he's been up here before. I will say that he did model it. I just got an email from him saying, yes, I know I checked with Washington. Let me get a little bit more specific with your question. So I will defer a bit and get information from him. I know I talked to him earlier this week and last week, and he said, yep, I've run the model. It doesn't show any queuing, kind of like what Yuri said, but if you want specific details, I'll have to get it from him because I don't want to make something up and say, I know it works, but get you the details of how exactly it works given the signal timing and how they work.
It doesn't show any queuing even at peak?
No, at peak he's got it working through it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it only works extensively with WashDOT because WashDOT obviously has the more information and they've got their roundabout.
So. I would be curious how he dealt with the signalization.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're getting a request, and you get some more information.
Yeah, I can get it at Bob Herman.
Okay.
You can get it at the little tiny details if you want.
Okay. Mr. Burnett?
One of the things to remember is that development east of the river doesn't necessarily affect greatly the traffic flow west of the river, where the folks that are coming back home are still coming back home, and they would probably be shopping elsewhere anyway, making the trip into Bellingham. So
why are we putting all this retail in?
Well, because this will give, they're already going along Main Street, they're just going further on Main Street.
I'm torturing
you. I know you are. But so a lot of the traffic that you see will be coming from the freeway to the roundabout at least in the southwest quadrant, which mm-hmm. most affects this main LeBounty roundabout, from the freeway to the roundabout and then south from there, not necessarily west of the roundabout, where west mm-hmm. of the roundabout is already pretty well developed. We've got Ferndale Station, we've got the Walgreens Center, which does have an extra pad back there, a retail pad for development. But the majority of additional growth that we see that the city administrator was talking about is generally in the southeast part of that southwest quadrant. And then, of course, the other quadrants on the east side of...
Well, now I completely understand.
Well, we've talked about this so much that in my mind I can identify each yeah. and every
he's,
property.
He's telling you empty grass that doesn't have much on
yes.
it.
Yes. Good visual.
Okay. Any more questions for our engineer, or can we let him sit down? Do any of you have questions for our engineer? Okay, Councilperson Olson, you're next.
You're all done.
Thank you.
Oh, I was going to be next. Oh, that's all right.
Oh, well, you didn't have your hand up first, but I'll go and
you
I'll
said you're going around the room.
Okay, so well, then I'll do that.
But if he has a question, let me do that. But come back.
Okay, I'm going to have...
Tough side of the room.
It's like herding cats. Okay, I'm going to let Councilperson Olson go, and then I'll immediately go back to our senior councilperson.
Yeah, I only have one question. This roundabout, which you and I have lots of history with these, is this going to be much larger than the garbage that's on the guide so that we don't have to have signs saying don't enter it with trucks? In other words, are you going to be able to get a truck and a car at the same time through both of those lanes?
Not if it's my car.
Right now, it's being designed for a single lane roundabout. It'll be striped for single, and then as the traffic rejections grow, it could be expanded.
So we're going to have two lanes go into one lane. Is that what you just said?
No.
You've got two lanes already on both east and west. So there'll be two lanes going in. But, yes, there'll be two lanes going into one because right now, and then you've got some traffic peeling off going to some of the side streets, and that's why they're trying to get some of that traffic from not blocking in the roundabouts. So they're using the side streets. They can go into the side streets, like, for example, LeBounty.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying, but I don't think I'm making myself clear. I'm trying to find out if we're going to have two lanes that are coming to the east of the roundabout, a two lanes in the roundabout, and go to the two lanes that are west of the roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to continue?
Yes. Right now it's being
designed
for one.
Okay, where did the one lane statement come from?
It's the one lane. It's being striped for one lane so you can get more traffic through. And in the future build-out, they could also expand that other outside lane.
I'm confused.
Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe no. You can draw me a picture.
I think
it's in the southeast
right
corner.
Right now,
we're gonna let Mr. Young have the floor here.
There's one. If you're leaving Ferndale, heading towards the freeway, Walgreens is on your right. Right now, there's one lane of traffic going in front of Walgreens.
No,
there's two.
There's two.
There's our confusion.
There's two lanes eastbound.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they stay two lanes all the way to the freeway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They do?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to those two lanes when they hit the roundabout if the roundabout's only one lane?
I guess initially it would neck down to one.
It is neck down to one.
Yeah.
And
it's a right turn lane.
Yeah, I know on the right turn right goes into the LeBounty, and that's where all the traffic goes, because that's where we're trying to...
Okay, so stop for a second. The roundabout has east and west,
correct.
Two lanes each side going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to, when it gets to the roundabout, it's just one lane, like one lane around the roundabout.
For one lane through traffic. We actually have the video of what
Bob Herman has designed.
I don't care about a video. I want a human being to tell me a simple answer.
Can I translate for you?
Sure. You're good at it.
The issue is that he's concerned that when a car goes through and a truck goes through at the same time, the truck's going to hit that car. So on the guide, they put up signs saying, don't go through his car. That's what he's talking about. What are these roundabouts going to be like? Are we going to have the same situation?
Roundabouts are commonly with, I know you've got that truck, that inside truck, that WB67 that says, okay, don't go on the inside because you may get hit. Roundabouts are like that because if you build them too huge of a radius, then it kind of defeats the purpose of slowing people down.
But that's not the point. We don't want to slow them down. We want to get people in and out. This is exactly what we talked about when we talked about this roundabout the first time. It was going to be large enough to handle two lanes of traffic down. Now we're finding out it's down to one. That's changing everything that I recall.
No, when I say slow down, be aware that I'm talking about slowing them down for a safety to about 25 miles per hour is what you want through the roundabout, which is speed limit.
I think the video helps. Two-lane roundabout.
Yeah. It might be easier if you just show
the model. Shows a two-lane roundabout. That's my understanding of what we're actually going to do.
Well, why is Louise telling us?
I think Louise is speaking a different language than you and I are.
Yeah. I think the statement of works.
I got your answer. Right? The answer is you don't like the answer, but you got the answer.
It's a two-lane roundabout. With some, you can see there's two lanes there, and then there's also what's called a slip lane. Hagen's is on the
so
right.
So for the audience, where's your orientation?
Okay. Hagen's is on the bottom. This is Hagen's parking lot right there. And so it's a two-lane roundabout with some extra slip lanes, which mean you don't actually go into the roundabout. You avoid the roundabout. If you're coming, there's one right along in there,
so
and there's also one going back.
Here's a semi coming. You can see the semi.
This is 2034, right?
32.
Yeah, this is 2032 with complete build-out. You can see there's just one roundabout right now.
There's a semi.
And it shows the semi.
It's showing two lanes.
Right. Two lanes, yes.
That was your question.
But you said you're only going to build one lane.
Right.
No, I think the issue was we were going to build it like this, but initially, because of the low traffic volumes, they could actually just stripe it.
What
for
low
one
traffic volume?
Today's traffic volumes.
No, that's not
as
low
opposed
traffic.
To 2032.
When I've been backed up from over by the big gas station over there for the truck stop, I've been backed up from there all the way down Main Street.
And the reason why you're backed up is we have traffic lights, and that's what traffic lights do. They make
people stop.
That's
not going to solve that. You're talking low traffic volumes. We don't have low traffic volumes out there at certain times.
Level C.
It's massive.
Yeah, well, okay, not, all we can go by, so explain this model again. Explain to everyone, this model is showing...
The time has changed because you can see traffic backing up. So is this going through time, Yuri? Is there a time hack on here?
I believe that this is just a PM peak.
Okay. This is PM peak?
With different volumes coming in at different times, I think that may account for the differential of signal light timing you talked about.
Well, they're driving way too fast through that roundabout.
Yeah. This is also sped up.
Yeah, this is
okay.
So, and as far as the year, you see these vehicles here. This is the golf course right now. So obviously this is assuming that this has been developed in accordance with the planned action full build-out. Where if you looked at right now, there would be zero cars or maybe one or two from Dairy Queen coming out. Same down here right now. We don't have very much traffic. This is showing that southwest quadrant more or less fully developed. Mm-hmm. But if you were able to calculate these cars on the west, these cars are really cars going back to Ferndale or back to this part of Ferndale. And that volume hasn't increased as much as the volumes here, here, or here.
So when the Walgreens light turns red, which it does frequently, with just a single car tripping the light, and I don't know where this 30-second traffic light, I've never seen one of those. 59 years, I haven't seen one of those. That thing stays red for almost 3 minutes at times.
Mm-hmm.
When that all piles up there, then how do these people and these people get to even enter it when everybody says, the hell with it, I'm coming home, me first, and clog up the roundabout?
And that's where I said I'd have to talk to Bob Herman on the time, because I won't say, oh, I know this is working now, because I really just don't have the details on that.
Sure.
Showing two lanes exiting the roundabout headed west, when in reality is only one lane, because the other lane goes into Carnation.
Right.
That's true.
What we're trying to avoid...
So it looks like there's a lot more place to go when you're coming out of it westbound than there really is.
It's just the one lane.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid a situation like the Guide Meridian or Bakerview, where they waited for the traffic to get so bad that they're now trying to shoehorn in some improvements that are costing more and really not working as well as they could. We've had a lot of experts look at this. Their concerted and constant advice is, this is the best traffic solution for level of service, given the amount of development that Ferndale will eventually get. It's just a matter of time, and we're seeing it now, so we want to try to get out ahead of it.
But we That's a great speech, but we frequently ignore those guys when it's convenient for us to do it. But now all of a sudden, they're remarkable and they know everything, and we should follow it this time. My other one, well, I might as well just finish.
Come on. Yeah, just go on. You're going to roll,
no,
baby.
You only have one question, but that's okay.
No, it was actually three.
Now it doesn't.
The funding to build it, we have that?
Yes. Oh, not to build it. No, not to build it. No, to design it. The idea would be that if one or more large retailers pop, their traffic impact fees will pay for a vast majority of it. The difference between what their traffic impact fees are and the cost of the improvements, the idea is to ask to borrow the money short term and pay for it out of the new sales tax cash flow that these retailers would be supplying to us. So
for clarification, we're asking the council to pay for design.
Design.
And the design would be ready if retail increased and paid for it, that we could move forward.
Exactly.
I think, well, for me, we're putting the cart before the horse. We can't even know if it's one lane or two lanes because he can't answer that yet. And yet you want us to do a design contract on something we don't have all the answers to.
I apologize for not knowing that. I'm trying to
it's not your
the model.
Well, it's not your
I know you modeled it. That's what I'm trying to find.
You didn't put it on the agenda.
Yeah, but I was a consultant, so I feel responsible for that part of it.
Well, yeah, you took him in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to find a model. I know we ran the model.
No, we're going to deal with you later.
I defer to you, sir.
Okay, Council Persand.
First of all, we're trying to design the damn thing here. And what they're asking us to do is to give money so it can be designed. You're asking design questions and haven't even been resolved by the engineers yet. You know, is it going to have two lanes? Is it going to have one lane? Is it going to go up and over? Is it going to go down and under? I don't know. Those are design questions that we don't know. I'm assuming that if Reichardt and Eby gets a design contract for this, that there will be presentations to the council as you go along. Well, the council will then ask questions about how this works and doesn't work. You've got two traffic engineers saying it's going to work. And we're questioning it because we have this vast knowledge of how streets and highways work. This council has already made the decision that roundabouts were going to be the way we maintain the level of service C on Main Street. That decision was made 2 years ago as we did the planned action. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 4 years ago. Really?
Yeah.
And that was a
time flight. All right, I guess.
Goes faster when we get older too.
This is boiling down to more than just should it be a roundabout or not a roundabout. It's boiling down to should we have more retail out there. And that's part of the reason we did the planned action, was to get ahead of all of this. If we wait until the retail pops and don't do anything, and then decide to try and construct something after the traffic is there, you will have an ungodly mess. And nobody's going to be happy. What this is doing is putting us ahead of the curve. We have the design in place, 90% or whatever it is, or will be in 9 months. Then if something pops, the possibility exists that we can issue contracts while they're under construction. And this will be done when their customers start showing up. That's the way I think it should work. If you don't want any big retail or any more retail out there, vote no on this.
That's the plan.
Okay. But if you want to see that develop properly, and under Eagle, thank God, we have design standards that will make this a very pleasant construction as opposed to a great big boxes out in the middle of a parking lot. At least I hope Gory's plan is going to work that way. I'm going to support getting the design work done. All of our experts are telling us, get your design work done, it will work, and you'll be ready. And frankly, I want to be ready. I don't want to be caught behind the eight ball when this happens.
Okay, so moving down the line, we'll keep going by, Councilor, and we'll come back to Councilperson Olson. Councilperson Ingram.
Well, my question is simply this, that you can sit down if you want.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
My question is simply this. Would it not benefit us, even right now, to work with WSDOT and work with Bellingham, who takes care of our traffic signal maintenance for us, and synchronize correctly the signals east of the river? We keep being told we can't come across the river and synchronize because there's no power, which I find totally, completely, reprehensibly stupid. You can't hang a conduit on that bridge. It's going to collapse the bridge. Give me a break. But we can certainly do the signals on the east side of the river and get those synced so that when that roundabout gets built, you don't have these bottlenecks and then this little shotgun blast of cars and another bottleneck and another shotgun blast. You've got the signals synchronized so that that one down there clears out before this one up here turns green, and it all flows like butter on a hot summer day.
Well, everything flows well on a straight line, but you're forgetting the stack on the left coming out of the Walgreen coming from Hagen's. That's what messes the light up.
No, but it still wouldn't mess it up if it was synchronized correctly. Synchronized signals work. If you don't believe that, take a trip down to San Francisco Bay Area and drive down 19th Avenue. You set your speedometer at 34 miles an hour at one end of that street, you will never hit a red light entire 7.5 miles of 19th Avenue. It's perfect. And it's not rocket science. They've been doing it for years. And we can do the same thing, but you've got to have the ability to synchronize the signals so that they work together. And you don't have those stack-ups.
Yes.
I agree.
Councilmember Ingram, you bake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a difference if you put melted butter in compared to normal butter?
Depends on what you're making.
Does it depend on when you put it in as well?
Nope.
No, it doesn't?
Not really.
Because what we have is a recipe for our different traffic improvements. And that recipe requires that we do all of the different improvements. So, for example, the traffic signalization or calibration needs to happen, absolutely. But it also needs to happen with the roundabouts going in. It also has to happen with Thornton going in, where when City Council adopted the package of plans and our overall level of service, they all had to go together because we can't just take one in and take one out or do ones at different times. All of them need to be done in order for us to meet the level of service. And we need to meet that level of service in order to meet our concurrency requirements through the Growth Management Act. Because if we don't do an improvement, and the calibration of the streetlights are going to help tremendously, but if we don't do all of those things, we're going to drop below our level of service, which means that we need to stop development, not only the large retail development, but every single development in the city of Ferndale. That's required by state law. It's not a choice that we have. We need to, within 5 years of the level of service dropping, to either make the improvements to bring the level of service back up, to reduce our level of service or change it, or to place a moratorium on development. Those are our three options.
Yes, and I guess I would add, too, that not building the roundabouts will not stop retail development. We have too much vacant land on Interstate 5 with freeway access and a growing population both in D.C., here in Ferndale, and Bellingham. Development will come unless we want to buy all the land. People are going to develop the land, and we're going to have the traffic. And it's our choice whether we're going to have development and traffic with no plan in place to deal with it, a la Bakerview, a la, you know, the Guide Meridian, where they are just reacting to this. So it's not a question of stopping development. It's a question of, and this was the mantra that we kind of marched along during the whole multi-year process, is development is going to come. People have the right to develop their land, and they will develop their land. People will continue to move to Ferndale. What do we want traffic to be like? Do we want to try to make it as good as it can be? Because pick a city on the West Coast along I-5 that doesn't have retail development along the interstate. There aren't any. I've looked. There simply aren't any. It's going to happen. It's a question of when. And I'm saying that the when is coming very soon for us. It's on the horizon. There's something coming at us rather quickly, and either we get ready for it or we're just going to have to try to jump out of the way and deal with it later. And I, again, as echoing what Councilmember Hansen said, we have had multiple experts look at this over a number of years, and this is their best professional feeling and design for what the best possible outcome for Ferndale is.
Okay, moving down the line, Councilperson Birch.
The design funding, where's that coming from?
Traffic mitigation funds.
And what's the going rate for the entire roundabout these days?
Like I was asking Luis about this. Our thoughts are is that the entire roundabout will probably be about $2.5 million.
And that's property tax or sales tax?
Again, that would be, now that's the construction.
Right.
My hope is that if one or more large retailers come in, their traffic mitigation fees will probably pay for a third or a quarter of it. The other part of it, my anticipation, I've mentioned this before, is the county has an EDI, the Economic Development Initiative. The county gets sales tax sent from the state back to the county for the purpose of economic development. They have many, many millions of dollars sitting there. My idea is to actually apply for an EDI grant and loan, one-third grant, two-third loan. So with the developers paying for a third or a quarter, getting about a third of it as a grant, what we'll end up with is a very manageable debt that will be paid through by the new sales tax for the big developers. If they don't come, we don't build it. When they come and when they pay their traffic impact fees, and when they tell us what their store is going to be and what the sales tax generation is going to be, then we can put the funding mechanism in place and we'll have the debt service available to pay for it. So it won't come out of property tax. It won't come out of existing sales tax. It'll come out of the new traffic impact fees and the new revenue stream from the new sales tax generated by the retailers that we understand are extremely interested in coming to Ferndale.
And the jail is going to be funded by sales tax increase.
That would be a sales tax that would be separate, correct?
That'd be countywide, a countywide sales tax. Yeah. That would be temporary. Well, temporary be for the probably for the life of the bond, probably 30 years for the jail. But that would be a voted. We're not talking about increasing our property taxes to pay for this roundabout.
No.
We're using our existing sales tax. Okay. And I should add too that even though this is these numbers aren't as great. Our TBD sales tax is also going to increase. I'm not talking about the TBD sales tax for funding the roundabout. I'm just talking about our normal sales tax revenue flow. Then we'll have the additional TBD sales tax, which we could use citywide or, for that matter, in this corridor to further and kind of get us more prepared for the future.
And will this bump the Thornton overpass in any way?
In some ways, it'll actually provide some funding for Thornton because, again, we'll have, my hope is that we will have excess sales tax, new sales tax from the retailers, and we'll have the brand new unallocated currently TBD sales tax. So if anything, this is going to give us more traffic impact fees and more annual TBD sales tax to put at Thornton, to put at some of the other issues we have around the city.
Mark, they're awfully quiet. What do you think? Money-wise.
Our city administrator is thinking positively.
I agree.
All right. Well, it's a positive thought process, so we hope it comes true. Councilperson Goodrich.
I'm having a hard time supporting this idea, not because I don't want to see large retail come to the area. I do want to see large retail come into it. I'm just concerned with the fact that the signals, the 6 years that I've been on the council, we've heard about, well, we need to synchronize the signals. We can't synchronize the signals because we don't have the latest and greatest whatevers. Janice used to, when she was here, gave us all kinds of reasons why we had to wait for a fiber optic cable. I never understood why a fiber optic cable was necessary for syncing the signals when you can use telemetry. To me, without the signals being synchronized, the roundabout's not going to work. Your nifty little diagram there did not show in one instance where the traffic was stopped from the freeway all the way to LeBounty, back to LeBounty, which it does on a daily basis. So if you're coming into that roundabout, there's not going to be any place for you to go out of it until the signals at the freeway are done. I don't know if that model showed that. Roundabouts at the freeway, but I was watching it very carefully, and not once did I see the traffic from the freeway backing up to LeBounty like it does daily. And then the other way, Walgreens backing up to Little Bounty. It does that. And again, your model showed this beautiful traffic flowing in and out. The only place that had the issue was the people coming out of Dairy Queen. That was the only, in the model there, that was the only place that the traffic backed up. Everybody else was flowing beautifully. I don't buy that at all, because I go through that intersection once or twice a day at least. And through there at different times of day. I go to McDonald's a lot for lunch. And I get hung up because of a big rig big rigs on the freeway. You can have a green light going across, but if a big rigs are backing up, you're not going to go. If they're trying to make the left turn to go on the freeway southbound. So to me, if we had invested the money in the signal synchronization and we knew our signals were all synchronized properly, and then I could say, okay, now let's do the round, see about the roundabout. But to me, until the signals are synced right and we get the traffic can flow through better, I don't see investing in the roundabout.
Well, I guess I would say that is extremely short-sighted.
Councilperson Olson, and then Ingram, and then back to Hansen.
Well, you're really not going to like this.
I don't have a complaint. I don't know if it was directed at me, but I would love to see new retail. It's not about that. I want to know if it's two lanes. I still don't have that answer, and Luis is working on it. And we're still full steam ahead with the torpedoes here. Is this little thing, does this go into the record?
The video?
Oh, the modeling? Yeah,
we would.
We're basing everything on it. Why wouldn't it be in there? Is this like the Richard Nixon? Well, we saw a video, but no, it's not there anymore.
We have a copy of it. I mean, it's public record.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Will that be included in the record?
You could link to it in minutes if people want to see it, for whatever reason.
Sure, yeah, yes.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know how to put a video in the
roundabout you saw is a picture of something yet to be designed.
It's conceptual.
When you show me this video, this cartoon is what I'm going to call it, and you tell me it's going to be two lanes, and Luis describes one lane, and nobody can tell us if it's one lane or two lanes, you have a problem. I am not going to vote for something that goes from two lanes all the way to the freeway to have something to go two lanes into one lane, back out to two lanes. I'll never vote for that. If you want to build this damn thing, build it big enough so it's two lanes. And I don't want to hear about, well, we're going to add another lane 30 years down the road, because that never happens. Not that I'll be here to know it. But I'm not going to vote for anything that's not going to be two lanes that goes around. And like Brent said, I'm even hesitant to do that, even if you told me it was two lanes, because it's not going to work. It's going to back up at the Walgreens and all the way through town. So why don't we spend some money to get those signals all synchronized, and then come back to this, and then we know it'll work. Or do that, have a commitment that we're going to get synchronization before this roundabout gets operational.
Okay, I have staff that would like to respond before we go to other council.
I think, Councilmember Olson, your last sentence answered a bit of my question. I think from our perspective, I'm not sure what staff could possibly provide to council that would demonstrate what you're looking for. You explained a little bit of it just there. We understand the need to see something and see that it works. And we've provided a model which has some deficiencies that I think that we could explain and see if it works, and I think that's fair. But obviously we can't. We can't prove to you, it sounds like, what you need to see until you see that everything else has failed. Where we are relying on our consultants, and we've asked them, would signals work? And they've said no, they won't. Certainly.
Well, I'm not saying keep signals. Right. I'm saying, are you going to have it two lanes or one through the roundabout? And
I guess I would commit every ounce of my effort to do two things. My understanding is that it's two lanes, to build this two lanes. And before we even build it, to bring to you a proposal for state-of-the-art, synchronized, modern traffic lights. You've seen the ones in Bellingham, or they certainly have my note down in Burlington, and the little camera.
Are we arguing semantics? I think, Luis, I mean, jump in if you want. Were you describing, I get the impression when you were saying one lane, it was one through lane, one lane going around, but one lane could go through. Your description did not fit what we really were seeing on the model.
Yeah, and I talked to Yori a bit, because he was looking at the models that Bob Herman said. It's like, okay, I've got the model for the 10-year and this the 20-year. He didn't seem to have sent the one, the current edition. So I'm going to go talk to Bob and say, give me the model that shows the striping and the layout, because I'm getting questions, and I don't have the answers. So I'm going to go back to Bob Herman and say, send me that other information, because I don't have it, and I'm being asked questions. So I won't bring that back, because I know he did talk about the lanes and the configuration.
Okay, so our council, am I right in saying that I think Councilperson Olson misunderstood what you said, or you just said it incorrectly?
I think I said it incorrectly. So I'm trying to get more accurate information from the law firm.
Okay. Well
no, and that's fine. I understand what he said, and I appreciate his honesty, and that you'll get that to us.
Okay.
But so you want us to vote on it?
But, yeah. Well, we may, if the vote is no, we may have to bring it back for more information. But let's move on to the discussion. Councilperson Ingram.
Well, I hate asking questions of engineers or staff about a project that has not yet been designed. If we want to see what this thing looks like, we've got to let them design it. We've been designing the Thornton overcrossing. And we had no idea what that was going to look like until it was well into the design phase. There's the same issues here. This thing has to be designed before we can see what it looks like and how it's going to work. And, you know, I'm going to make a little assumption here, which I hate to make, but given the apparent nearness of some major developments on that side of the city, when this is designed, it's going to have a pretty long shelf life even if something falls apart. This isn't like a building. This isn't like a library or a police station where building codes change daily practically. This is a road, and the building codes, basically building codes for the roads, usually have a pretty long lifespan before something new and exciting comes along and they change the code. It's base rock and fill and asphalt. So I'm assuming this thing will probably have a good 10 to 20 year lifespan on the shelf if development doesn't come. So we're not throwing our money away. This is something that's going to be here when we need it. And I think the most important thing to me is that's what we need. We need it here when the time comes. We don't want to be sitting there going, this guy's building a 500,000 square foot grocery outlet. Oops. Now we've got to start design work, and the design's 9 months long. And his construction time is 6. Now we've got a problem. We need to get this thing designed and get it on the table so we can actually study it. And then it's our call. We don't like that feature of that design. Change that. We can make that direction then, but we can't do it until we can see it on paper.
More money.
Yeah.
That would cost more money.
Yeah.
Well,
we just need to get it done.
For kind of reporting back, we talked about that a little earlier, 30% design, 60% design, and then finally 90% design. 90% design, as I mentioned, is approximately 9 months. We could authorize 30% design or 60% design right now. Authorizing 30 and then going to 60 and then going to 90 is going to cost more than just going to 90 because, you know, you're just not on a straight line design. But that is something that is conceivable. What I really want to try to avoid is exactly what Councilmember Ingram talked about, is trying to catch up when what's behind you is moving faster than you are. And pretty soon you just get run over. And I don't want the council, this council, a future council, to try to answer the question from the public. You probably knew that this development was coming. Why did you let our traffic get as bad as it is? Instead of saying, we planned for this ahead of time, this is the best possible result, and our, and hopefully, even though we don't, we aren't in this for kudos, having some of our citizens appreciate the forethought and the consideration that all of us have given, realizing that we can literally look up and down the west coast of America and see what happens when you don't plan. You don't have to travel that far. Just go to Bellingham. They did not plan very well for I-5 cutting through the middle of their town. I don't want to plan poorly for large retailers plopping down in our city and us not being ready to do the most we could have done.
Okay, on a roll, council wants to talk. So we have Councilperson Hansen, then Councilperson Watson, then back to Councilperson Goodrich, then back to Councilperson Olson, and then following up with Councilperson Birch. And then, obviously, by then, Councilperson Ingram will want to say something more.
I'm just going to be brief again. If you don't get out ahead of it, you're going to be very sorry that you didn't. If the traffic mess, and you, it's no secret, it's out this week, I won't be here in 9 months. I'll be alive. Don't.
It's not you're retired.
I'm retiring from the council.
Be careful, honey.
In 9 months. And I really don't, in January, I don't want to sit back and see something pop out there and say, you know, we could have done something about that, but now the traffic mess is so bad that I can't even get in and out of the town to get to my house because we didn't do something when we should have. And that's what I'm hearing from some of you tonight. Some of you, I'm saying, let's find an excuse to put this on the shelf for a while. It's just, there's no foresight to that whatsoever. Put it on the shelf. And then deal with the bad traffic when it happens. Okay, if you're going to be here, I'm not.
Councilperson Watson.
Some of you.
I don't know if I'll be here or not, for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to support it, only because I think we should be focusing on the Thornton Overcrossing. I think if we took the pressure off Main Street with Thornton Overcrossing, we wouldn't have to worry about this as much. And I would like to... Go ahead.
That's actually incorrect.
Okay.
Because,
you can say no. Go
because
ahead.
Thornton would not take enough traffic off of Main to preserve our level of service if development occurs as is projected.
And it's based
if
on
they
what?
Were coming on the empty spots.
What is that data based on?
It is based on a model where we have put in the growth projections throughout the city where Thornton would take, I think it's 1,400 vehicles during the PM peak hour, but Main Street by 2036 would have fallen below the level of service even with less than full build-out. So we would still be looking at improvements on Main Street, even if Thornton is constructed.
All it takes is one big box on the on that side.
Okay, Councilor Swatchin, are you...
I just politely disagree.
Okay.
Models are garbage in, garbage out. I'd like to see the model.
Okay. Councilor Goodrich, and then back to Olson, and then Birch.
Part of me forgot what I was going to say.
I know, it's really long.
It's so long. My concern, again, is with the synchronization of the signals. And if the idea, well, if we'll do the design, then we'll do the synchronization, and we'll have them all this money to do all this stuff. You know, we've talked about it. It's been on our CIP, you know, for a while. And I just don't see how spending the money on the design, yeah, you know, you know, we're getting out a little bit ahead of
a little bit.
Well, we're ahead of a thing, but still, you know, the plan was roundabouts at both I-5 interchanges, roundabout at Walgreens, roundabout at Nordic, on Labounty. You know, is one roundabout going to solve all our issues? I'm not sure. You know, we've been hearing about a big box coming for years, and yet nothing ever, you know. If there was a check in hand and plans in our building, and I'm maybe a little bit more out. But I'm having a hard time with this idea, well, we'll synchronize the signals down the road.
I could care less about the signals. They're all going to become roundabouts.
Okay, moving on.
Eventually, yeah.
We'll move on. So we have Councilperson Olson and Councilperson Birch, and I'll go back to Councilperson Watson. So Councilperson Olson, you have the floor, sir.
Write down my question.
I'm hearing all this, let them design it,
I think we have to tell him what we want. If I'm telling Luis, build me a house, and Luis brings me plant, hell, that's not what I wanted. Well, you didn't say how many lanes you wanted. We need to let him know how many lanes and what we want it to look like before that. I don't really care about the modeling thing either. That's a poor excuse. Sometimes we use transpose stuff. Other times we say, oh, no, that's too high. So I don't want to hear about that. That's not... I just want to be able to tell Luis tonight, we want to see two lanes go all the way around. And until we know that we've got that designed, I mean, Greg kind of solved the other problem. If he comes back with a synchronization thing so that we can get these two together, I would be fine with that. If Luis and everybody in here could tell me two lanes, I'd vote for this.
Two lanes.
Two lanes.
Two lanes.
It's not two lanes. We don't know that.
That's what we want.
Okay. Okay. Moving on discussion, we'll have Mr. Ponce speak at the very last. Councilperson Birch has the floor now.
I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done. Okay, sorry.
That would be the only way I could do it. I'm tired of people trying to frame this as being an obstructionist, and it's not.
Okay.
It's design it. Or we could just do the Bellingham model and B&F on Bakerview, and if it gets worse, we don't have to worry about it. There's mm-hmm. nothing worse than an F.
Yeah.
It's easy. Now I'm done. Thank you, sir.
So, for the audience, because it is interesting, it's fascinating to watch this design, and the Herald Reporter can print this, and I guess it'll upset people, but it is interesting that once you reach an F, a failure, well, then you can't go below a failure because you're a failure. And so certain cities have went that design. It was the first time I heard it, I was like, but it's still worse. Oh, but it's already at a failure, so you can't fail worse, which is what he's talking about.
Exactly what I was
thinking. A city to the south of us is like,
you can't fail.
The first time I heard it, I went, okay. Okay, councilperson Burst.
In the design, I would like to see what kind of traffic flow we'll have during construction. What are they going to do with everybody on Main Street?
Yeah, in fact, a good component of the, not the design, but good component of the construction is traffic control. We deal with that, you know, all the time. And the disadvantage we have is that, as you probably alluded to, we don't have a detour on Main Street.
Right.
So that's why the number I threw out for construction was as high as it is, because they're going to have to build it around traffic getting through. There'll be flaggers and delays and things like that. But this is something that, you know, traffic engineers and companies that build these kind of things deal with all the time. So there's standard ways to get the traffic through. It just stretches out the construction period. It dries up the cost a little bit. But that's the life you live when you want to keep a road open.
But point taken, and her request is valid.
Well, absolutely.
Councilperson Watson, you have the floor.
I don't have a question. I'm just wondering, are we going to vote on this, or do you want to refer it back to committee because you still have questions? We're kind of, I think we all...
Before we go to that and see if there's questions...
I didn't make a motion.
I'm going to pull our engineer up and give him one more chance to speak clearly. With under threat of terrible things.
I guess in fairness to the council, I would request... an opportunity to go get the additional information, because I'm not sure you have all the information you need. And I know it's there. I just need to go get it from Bob. As far as the two-lane, I know he looked at two-lane. He looked at where it's at right now. I just don't have that model or that layout on me.
Okay. I'd like to move to refer it back to committee.
Sorry. That is a wise decision.
Yes.
Thank you. All in favor of that, signify by
star.
Yeah, aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay. We're back to committee. Thanks.
So now for something lighter.
The pressure is on you. Don't ever come back and say one lane.
I'll never come back, period, poor thing.
Okay, next up on the agenda, the Parks Maintenance Capital Improvement Property Tax Levy for Metropolitan Park District.
Thank God for no modeling in this one. Thank you, council members. Hopefully this is a much more positive discussion than the previous one, although that was a great debate. So I hope the public appreciated that the officials in Ferndale actually... you know, have a really great discussion about issues. So moving on to the Park CIP, we've talked about this a lot. What we're doing tonight is we're asking you to approve two resolutions, and you can do that through a single agenda bill, to one, adopt a six-year Parks Maintenance and Capital Improvement Program, which would guide projects over each year, basically, related to the Metropolitan Park District, should voters approve it. The other resolution is regarding kind of the council's commitment to, should the voters approve the MPD in November, we would immediately have a special meeting as the MPD, because you are the board of that MPD, and you would adopt the property tax levy that pays for the projects in the capital plan. To get a little bit of detail, obviously the capital plan is designed based on several things. The first and foremost is the Parks Master Plan, which another planning document that the City Council has adopted as part of the comprehensive planning process. It's also based on a very rigorous audit by the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board related to each park. They went boots on the ground into each facility and looked at the things that are needed to really help improve our park system or fix current deficiencies. And then I would say probably one just as important as those, but not really an official process, is based on community feedback. And, you know, over the years, let's say two decades, we have heard from the public ad nauseum about a variety of projects they really want to see in their community. That includes a pool facility. That includes a dog park, a fenced-in dog park off-leash with amenities inside of that for their animals. That includes restroom facilities at various parks like Vander Yacht, replacing the field house. That includes a skate park. If you recall, this council at one point almost had one of those built. Unfortunately, we had a recession, and we had to remove that money to basically help keep some staff on board when we were still getting rid of 10 staff members. So there are a ton of projects in here that are really exciting our community. It also includes the complete rebuild of the Pioneer Park main stage. That's a direct recommendation from PERTAB, including members of the Old Settlers Association. So that's the plan. The plan also focuses some funding on maintenance. This is not like our other CIPs, capital improvement programs, that are only focused on capital. We do this because an MPD is not just a capital improvement program. It is also a maintenance program to help with parks. And so this program funds an additional parks laborer position to help supplement what we're already doing in our parks. We know we need that. Bo comes to us and lets us know that we need that. We have over 120 acres in our park system. We have a lot of parks, and we need help with that. Right now, we have two full-time equivalent positions in the parks kind of department under the Public Works Department. We effectively have another one FTE because our Public Works crew does assist throughout the year with various parks-related activities. So this additional FTE would put us at four, basically effectively throughout the year. It's really important that I make sure that that's clear, that this plan is not designed to replace what we're already doing. It's designed to enhance what we're doing. That's what our community has asked for. Getting to the resolution related to the property tax levy, that property tax levy resolution is how the CIP was built. The PERTAB, the Parks, Recreation, Trails Advisory Board, recommended a 50 cents per thousand levy. $250,000 for a home, that's $125 a year, or about $10.42 per month. You've all have seen that obviously the average home value or single-family residence assessed value in the city is actually about $218,000, so it would be a little bit lower on average. We typically use that $250,000 figure because it helps, I think, give better perspective for the community. In that resolution, it also calls for some really important things to guide how the money is spent. No more than 5% of the funding would be spent on administrative costs. That includes things like grant writing to get more money for the park system to supplement the additional money from the community, as well as project management, because this is a lot of capital projects. It also includes a commitment to between 70 and 80% of the funding being spent on capital needs and the other 15 to 25% being spent on maintenance. So what we're trying to do with these two resolutions is really inform voters prior to their decision. This is exactly what you're going to get. And that kind of brings me to my last point before I'll put it back in your hands. What we're doing here is we're responding directly to what the citizens have asked us for in our community. They've said they want these projects. This is how you pay for them. This levy is how you'll pay for it. If our voters don't like it, they can say no to it, and that's okay. That's a good part about this vote. It costs us nothing more than any other election because it's our local election year. So this is a really valuable time for our community to have a say on this. If for some reason we decided to lower that levy rate or your commitment to that, it's going to significantly impact what we're doing in that CIP. And you only get to do it once. So if you adopt a lower levy rate, you're never going to have an opportunity to fix that. If for some reason we decide this was not enough to keep up with, you know, the system that we hope for our community. So with that, I leave it up to you.
Okay, council questions look like a big thing, so I'll start with our member that's gone in 10 months, Councilperson Hanson.
Nine.
Not that he's counting.
Because he's retiring.
Retiring, not gone. Sam, is it still available or appropriate to suggest a project to get somewhere in the list just so that we don't forget about it?
Absolutely.
That's the boardwalks at Pioneer Park.
Sidewalks.
The ADA sidewalks that will be stamped concrete and meander throughout the park and entrance to the cabins and that sort of thing.
And there's a design for that already, correct?
There is a design. It's in the old parks master plan.
The specifics of that was given to the Heritage president 2 weeks ago.
Do you have a recommended year to add that to?
No. I just want to see it in the six-year list somewhere.
Okay.
Because council is going to come back and look at that list
every year as a
parks board every year, and they'll be moving projects up and down as that goes.
Correct.
It's like our streets project. If it's not there, you go, well, you know, it must not have been important enough for them to include it. If it's
a placeholder.
Huh? I would plan on you coming to those meetings from the audience and requesting things.
There's old man Hanson again.
Okay, going down the line, Councilperson Olson, did you have a comment? No, Councilperson Ingram?
I would move to approve Agenda Bill 15-04-006.
I'll second that.
Okay, move a second. Further discussion, Councilperson Birch.
The budget that we provide now would not go away should this pass.
Correct. Yeah, this is explicitly designed to do more, not less.
Right.
Yeah, and we really want to make that commitment to our community.
Nope. Councilperson Watson?
I'm just wondering, you only have $25,000 here for grants. You did a lot of work looking at the Star Park. What kind of grants are possible? I'm thinking, can we use this more as the TBD where you get just 300 some thousand, but you turn it into millions by using grants?
Thanks for asking that. Yeah, so the hope is that some of the funding obviously will be used as matching funds for those grants. So Recreation Conservation Office grant opportunities. And I really think that if we had had this type of pot of money when Yori and I sat in front of them, we would have been much more successful. We were able to show them a great commitment of, you know, $15,000 from the community at that point. We're now at almost 30. And then your commitment, they almost poo-pooed your commitment. It was baffling. So,
they know us.
Yeah, I don't know. It was one gentleman. I can't remember the city, maybe Moses Lake, whatever. They're crazy there. But, you know, with an additional funding where we can say, this is in a CIP, we collect this much money every year. This, by the way, we collect $581,000 a year. We can say, this is $100,000 right there in the pot, ready to go. And I really think that would make us more successful. Also, the, you know, Department of Fish and Wildlife, they do a lot of grants and work. You probably saw on our Facebook page the boardwalk at Hovander, which is Ortena Lake, which is amazing. Wildlife really helped them with that program. I believe they got some funding for that. And walking that this weekend really got me excited for the same thing. If we can get this approved and trying to go out for that interpretive boardwalk through Shell Marsh, that would be amazing. So,
I guess, can I just real quick finish that? I can't support 50 cents. I just think it's too much. And I'm wondering if any of you are willing to drop it down to 25, and we do use it like the TBD. We don't get $600,000 a year, but we get around $300,000 a year, and we use that as matching grants. It'd be a little less painful for people. It would only be 25 cents. But again, if you set it for 25, that is forever.
They would, unless it's an amendment. She could
move to amend it. That obviously would not. I did not realize that that's what the question. If we did that, it would preclude us. We would have to rely on getting the grant before we did any project. So that, I think that's one thing to keep in mind is.
But you would still get almost $300,000 a year, like 280. Isn't it 280,000?
Yeah, about 280,000. So, yeah. But if we're only saying that we're only go for grants for the projects.
No.
Okay, I must have misunderstood you. I'm sorry.
No, it wouldn't be completely for grants. We would do kind of a mix. You'd have you know, sometimes we use TBD for grants. Sometimes we're using it to actually pay for things, and so you could set aside part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw it out and see if anyone's interested. I'd like to move to amend the resolution to say 25 cents instead of 50 cents. Okay.
Okay, motion dies for lack of a second. Any further questions of staff?
Well, I'm just going to comment.
I like your thinking, but I wasn't going to support it because of listening to the discussions at the Parks Board and their decision for the 50 cents. I, you know, value their opinion.
I understand.
Okay, so discussion is over. Would you like to go back to the clerk's position because we will do a roll call vote? Yes.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Yes.
Councilmember Birch?
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Yes.
Thank you.
I only have 9 months left, so I can break protocol and go, yeah, I'm going to go. Thank you.
That was 6-1. Councilmember
the vote
five
is
one.
6-1.
It's 5-1.
Oh, 5-1. Oh,
excuse me, 5-1. Sorry, I just... It's been a long battle. Okay. Now, so it goes to the voters. The voters get to decide.
Right.
Wow.
And they will.
You.
Well,
years.
Everyone needs to understand. The vote we just took does not preclude. I've got to be careful how I say this. This is an advisory vote that was taken tonight. Mm-hmm. When the actual board is convened, they will set the levy.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm sad you said that, but yes.
Well, but
I mean, hopefully you're committing to this.
You've got five people here that committed to 50 cents tonight.
Yep. Yeah.
And if they change their minds, their political lives are gone. Mm-hmm.
Did you write that quote down?
Unless they get
rid of their political lives are gone.
In 9 months,
they're dead. That's going to be on the front page of your front page of the Herald. Okay, moving on. I'm happy to move on. Okay, mayor comments. So I'll be out of town as soon as we finish this meeting, so probably at about 10 o'clock. Councilor Watson, you're the mayor until I won't be returning until Thursday night. So... probably the parks, the whole parks budget will go away. And
can't spend money.
I don't know what the point is.
I don't know if that's the other comments I have. Any council comments? Councilman Smirsch.
I took a tour, my husband and I, of the county jail on Thursday last week, and it's in dire straits. I mean, it's just ugly, ugly what they have to deal with, and it's frightening. If they had a fire, it would be catastrophic death.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It just, I think when I talk about a committee is, you know, because I still do quite a bit of plumbing there, and I don't know of anyone where you'd put that many humans together, and none of us, I think, could live in those conditions and be normal.
Never lived in the barracks.
No, it's really true.
And how
not that we're normal now.
148 beds, but they have people that they have to keep individually due to
violence. You know, I know.
Well, thank you for taking the time to personally see that. I really do appreciate
awesome
that.
Tour. It was 2 hours with the sheriff.
Thank you. Thank you for
did
taking
show you the
that.
Bucket toilet?
Any other council comments? Councilperson Goodrich.
I got an email this week, past week, saying that the Bellingham International Airport Advisory Committee that I'm the liaison to is... for lack of a better word, on hiatus.
In other words, defunct.
Each commissioner was talked to individually, and they all, at the time, couldn't see the kind of the value of it, what it was really kind of going to accomplish. It had been going for 9 months now, I think, and you know what's come out of it after 9 months. So they're going to reevaluate it and see where they're going to go, whether maybe they'll go to a quarterly, you know, meetings or something. I have a feeling it's just maybe just going to go away. But, you know, stay tuned for further developments.
Okay. Any other council reports? Okay.
Community meal Saturday.
Oh.
Pineapple glazed ham and sweet potatoes and
Easter was last
there'll be butter in there in various forms.
I love it when you give us the menu. Okay, going to department reports. Finance director.
Okay.
City administrator/public works.
All set.
Community development director.
Nothing.
Assistant city manager/city clerk.
Go ahead.
Police.
Mariners, sweetie.
Okay. So, now, we will be entering into executive session pursuant to RCW
42.30.110, subsection G. We estimate the meeting will last approximately 15 minutes, and then we will reconvene in open public meeting. Action is expected after the executive session. For staff, the only ones I would like to go find someplace else and come back in 15 minutes would be the city administrator and assistant city administrator. Other than that, everybody, just go away.
I think our student left. I don't know. Is there any students that need to be?
Well, he tried to get his thing signed.